This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Howdy, y'all.
What was that?
This is the Escape Hour. We're down in Texas today. My name is Billy Bob Suray Joe Bob Thornton, and we're live to air here down in Dallas-Fort Worth. Howdy.
Howdy.
I said howdy to you, Fiona. Brooke, how are you today?
I'm mighty fine. Thank you, Russ. I'm mighty fine.
This is the Escape Hour, and it's our Texas show today. And Fiona, as always, what are you wearing, doll?
I'm wearing a very silly hat.
You look gorgeous.
I know. Wearing a very silly hat, and actually nothing really else dramatic. I've been going a bit plain black lately. And I did think about wearing this stunning, stunning necklace that I bought last weekend after the show. It was
on Facebook.
New York City 1960s or 70s piece of stunning silverware. I just didn't feel the thing this morning for putting it on.
You didn't?
So,
okay.
No.
All right. Well, we're glad you've got your cowboy hat on.
Because I've got my cowboy hat on.
We're doing Texas today, which is fantastic. Yeah. Everything's big in the Lone Star State.
It sure is. It's keeping my posture straight, so to keep the damn thing on my head.
Well, I know mine keeps flipping off. I think Ted's going to auction these off as we get through. So, actually, the reason what we were just listening to was a bit of Texas square dancing or round dancing, and we'll ask our expert when she comes on to tell us more about dancing in gorgeous old Texas town. But what was interesting, and I thought Tad might like this, because you get into groups of four and you've got a call up. Now while I was looking up all about Texas line dancing today, they've got the Texas Square and Round Dance Association has got a huge roundup coming up in 2017 on the 21st and the 22nd of October, and they're looking for a staff call up.
Oh.
And I thought you would be fabulous
really?
At that.
That's very kind of you.
Yeah, I could see you doing, grab your partner round and round, swing that girl to the ground. I think you'd be absolutely perfect at that, Ted. What do you think?
That. I'd probably say no.
Okay.
I mean, we all know a New York accent is quite a far stretch from a Texas accent.
Yeah.
So, you'd have to do some work. Otherwise, they might throw him out for lack of authenticity. Because, I don't think the Texans are big fans of the New Yorkers.
Well, he'd be a Yankee to them, wouldn't you? Yeah. You're a Yankee?
Very much so. Okay. Above the Mason-Dixon line, so.
Okay, right. And what do you think of Texans then? Are they...
Have you been to Texas?
You do?
Yeah. My sister-in-law is a Texan, and well, people there.
You've got roots there, basically, which is fantastic.
Yeah, no, Texas is great.
Okay, have you been to Texas?
Sad. I have been, yeah.
Right.
A bit sad what's happening at the moment with the weather. It's awful.
Wow, isn't it?
Yeah.
God, the flood from, the flood of the century or the storm of the year.
It's crazy. No let up. But hopefully things will start to drain.
It looks
off.
Like it's all a bit more organised than Katrina too, which is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of lessons learned from that.
See, the Don's been down there, and Marley are in a 16-inch platform shoes
just to keep her out of the water.
Her outfit, yeah.
She looked glamorous.
And a little bomber jacket and shades. Yeah.
Texans know how to do everything well, I think.
She's not a Texan though.
No, I don't know where she's from, actually. She's one of a kind, isn't she?
I do recall when my mum and dad were visiting the United States. My parents are farmers, and they said they'd never seen a larger piece of steak on their plate. And my dad, dad was shocked. And he's, a big classic Aussie meat guy. So that I thought that was exciting. I love the idea. I haven't visited Texas yet myself. I've been threatening to go down to South by Southwest in Austin, which, of course, is the coolest town in Texas, as everyone knows.
Yeah, absolutely. It also happens
to be
where our guest lives,
isn't it? Really?
Before we
go on to these fast facts of Texas, we might as well introduce you.
Sure.
That sounds fair, yes. So, without further ado, our new Austin guest is Jess Pryles. She is originally from Melbourne, but now lives in Austin, and she is a barbecue expert. More than a barbecue expert, Jess. How are you and welcome to the program?
Well, I feel it's only appropriate to say howdy.
Howdy.
That's the way.
Thank you for having me here.
Well, you're visiting our shores so briefly to launch your new book, Hardcore Carnivore, mm-hmm. which is what you are. And when we come back from the break, I guess we'll be able to learn more about that. But who's the book by?
The book?
Yeah, it's published by Murdoch.
It's published by Murdoch Books, and it's just come out within the last month. And I guess it's probably a great gift for Father's Day.
It probably is.
That's a good idea. Wow.
So, it's out through Murdoch Books. It's available in all department stores, all major booksellers, and, of course, some great small retailers too.
And the byline of the book is, cook meat like you mean it. So no faffing about.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, Jess,
I could use that book, actually.
You don't eat meat, Russ.
No, I don't. But, you know, because I'm a vegetarian, it's kind of nice to have that book on the shelf in case people come over for a barbecue feed.
I do eat meat and... Oh, no, sorry.
Boom, boom.
But I had a good look at all the recipes and they're pretty incredible.
Oh, wow. Okay, all right. So you've got one vote from a carnivore over there, so we're doing really well. Yes,
and for those people who want to use it as a gift, you can also see there are lots of barbecue-worthy salads, because realistically, a barbecue isn't any good unless you've got some good salads.
Absolutely.
So there's some fantastic salad recipes, classic mac and cheese, Texas caviar. Wow. Can we go out and eat some of this food after? I really need to think about lunch after looking at that book.
Alrighty, so I've got some interesting facts about Texas here that
Jess can tell us whether that's really true.
I'm happy to debunk the myth.
Okay, you feel free to do that.
Probably doing a lot of that today.
So it says that there are 26 million people that live in Texas. So that's pretty full on.
Bigger than Australia.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And look, I just threw this in there because I thought it was interesting. But 31% of them are obese.
Oh.
Is that because they eat so much meat?
What does
actually,
that mean?
I'll do a light deflection and say, I believe the fattest state in the union is Mississippi.
Could be. I think you're right.
That's just further east.
They have 1.65 million illegal immigrants. And I really found this interesting.
Is this why you brought sombreros in for us?
We did. We've got two Texans and two Mexicans.
And no wall.
No wall.
Too soon.
We're here to build the wall. Thank you very much. Or take it down, rather.
Yeah.
And I found it really interesting that, for how negative Trump and his cronies are about these illegal immigrants, that they actually take up 9% of the labour force in Texas. And I thought that was really interesting with all of the bad... reports that they get and how people want them out of the USA and all of that sort of stuff. I thought that was great that, why would you? They take up 9% of the workforce, so it's pretty important to actually have them there, yeah.
It is, and it takes up a lot of the labour force as well. You know, there's the old joke about maids and gardeners, but it's quite true that that's... you'll find a lot of Hispanics in that profession, but... You know, to counteract some of the negativity that we see from the president, during Hurricane Harvey, there was a big move during the shelters to make a point that no ID will be checked.
Right.
So, I think there was one shelter that was doing it, and then they were just absolutely blasted on social media, and everyone was told that no matter what your circumstance. And I think that's a really important point, that it's a human... humanitarian crisis here, and that it shouldn't really at that stage be about immigration. So,
that's certainly the press that's coming out of that part of the world anyway. There's all of these good Samaritans out there.
Absolutely.
You know?
There are. It's amazing. So I have a friend, the Cajun Navy from Baton Rouge came across with their boats. I have a friend who lives 4 or 5 hours north of Houston who bought a boat and drove down and started rescuing people. My friend Jeff Tucker. And I have a seasoning rub also called Hardcore Carnivore, which is made in Houston. And right now we don't know what kind of condition the factory's in, because the people who own and work in it aren't even able to get out of their houses right now. But Hardcore Carnivore gave a big donation to Operation Barbecue Relief, which is really interesting. So it's this... it's a charity that sort of mobilizes wherever there's a disaster to feed people in need. So far they've fed 79,000 people down there just from Harvey. So
is that just a Texas-based charity? Is that
No, they're national, actually. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. So, and they mobilised to the states that need them. So they were in Baton Rouge during the storms, and they've been up to all sorts of different areas. Yeah,
that's amazing. That's great.
It's cool. I love the guy on the news who owns all these furniture shops and just opened them all up and said,
"Here, the mattress guy."
Wasn't he great?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
I
you want somewhere to
one.
Sleep? Come in here and do it. That's fantastic.
Amazing.
There are all these memes going around because there's a big church there that I think it's a $16 million church that houses 60,000 people or something like that, Joel Osteen's church, and they were absolutely blasted in the first couple of days because they didn't open their doors, which is not very church-like.
No, that's very...
So the sentiment is be like the mattress guy, not like Osteen, is what's sort of going around.
Joy 94.9.
You're on the Escape Hour, and we are fluffing our own feathers right now in Texas. What's the national bird of Texas? Does anyone know the answer to that?
Oh, goodness me, I did. Oh, okay, good.
Yay. It's the mockingbird.
Is it?
Oh,
to kill a mockingbird, right? Yep. Right.
Always the same variety.
Yeah.
Well, that is an incredible book, that one. That's for sure. But you've got some other fun food facts for us, Russ.
Well, you know, I thought this was really interesting. Texans like to eat and drink, apparently, so that's what they like to do. Now, what... some of these things I know and some of them I don't know, but barbecue with no sauce?
Yeah, so there's actually a barbecue capital of Texas town that was, it's the official town, it's called Lockhart, it's about 45 minutes south of Austin, and there's a place there called Kreitz Market. All of the Texan barbecue joints have their traditions in old meat markets from German and Czech settlers that was there, so it's called Kreitz, but it's spelled very, very Germanic. But they're very famous for not allowing forks or sauce.
Right.
Yeah, it says it big on the door.
It's all about hands.
Yeah. God's tools.
Okay.
God's
cutlery.
That's good.
I like that, actually.
Yeah.
Now, Ted, you might like this one, Dr. Pepper. Do you like Dr. Pepper?
I do like Dr. Pepper.
Okay, I like Dr. Pepper. Yeah. It's a fizzy drink, isn't it? Soft drink. It's sort of. Is it like. Is it like root beer or is it a little bit?
Sort of similar. Little bit. Yeah. So my dad was actually an exchange student in Texas in 1967, which is kind of wild to be an exchange student back then. And he swears, I don't know if this is correct, but he swears that the billboards at the time used to advertise Dr. Pepper as an aerated prune drink.
Really?
That really does not sound appealing.
Sounds a little bit like a laxative, doesn't it? An aerated laxative. Yeah, how fabulous. I must go and get some. What about corn dogs?
Corn dogs. Yeah, so there's a big state fair that happens every year in Dallas, and there's this giant, slightly creepy statue called Big Tex that welcomes you into the state fairgrounds. And that's the thing where you hear about all those crazy fried foods.
Yeah.
And every year they try to outdo themselves. So there's been fried beer and fried pizza and
fried
deep fried everything.
And I heard someone tried to fry Coca-Cola.
Yeah, and fried cookie dough.
Ooh.
Well, that sounds nice. Yeah. That sounds really nice.
So corn
the Americans do cookie dough so well, don't they?
They do. They're really good at the flour thing.
Yeah.
So corn dog is a very classic kind of rodeo and fair food. I mean, you would have had. They have corn dog, plenty of corn dogs in New York too. Yeah.
They're pretty popular.
I've never seen two Americans smell so much in my life, Fiona. Just thinking about corn dog. Tamales?
Tamales are amazing.
Yeah, what's that?
So they're really interesting, and they're quite cumbersome to make, which is probably why we don't see so many of them here, because they're so laborious. But it's basically cornmeal mixed with pork lard that's then spread onto a corn husk that's soaked and dried, and you fill it with a filling, usually like a red chili pork. That red chili sauce alone has taken hours and hours to make. And you sort of roll it up and steam it in that corn husk, and you get these little bites out of it. So it's a very traditional dish to make around Christmas time as well, where families get together and they have what they call a tamalada, which is the act of making the tamales.
Ah.
And usually stocks the freezer for a couple of months just because they are such a pain to make.
Well, the last two things on the list are very obvious, and it's chili and steak.
So chili is the national dish of Texas, believe it or not.
Oh, is
that's
it?
The
okay.
That's the official state dish. And there's some contention that it should be brisket.
Do you have grits there too?
We do. That's more of a southern thing. So Texas is really interesting because it's Texas. It used to be its own republic, and it's very, if you meet a Texan, overseas, they'll say, you know, you ask them where they're from, they'll say, I'm from Texas, not I'm from America or from the United States, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And they don't consider themselves all the way Southern, and they don't consider themselves Southwest. They're Texans. So they have a little bit of Southern influence and some, you know, Tex-Mex is its whole own cuisine, but... Yeah, it's a rule unto itself.
There was a plan for secession.
Yeah, there's still like a few hilarious bumper stickers. Yeah.
Did you hear that WA there's a secession exit plan for WA that was in the paper this week?
There is.
Were you going to miss them?
Okay. I mean, probably not.
No,
of course we will.
Now that the mining now the mining boom is over.
If it was Queensland, I'd understand. But, you know,
cut them loose.
Yeah, that's right. Get rid of them. Yeah. We've got some great listeners in Perth. Hello,
we
Perth.
We love Perth.
So while we're at it, we're steak and meat. This is where this brings us to a great
topic. Well, that's exactly right. Yeah. Jess has her own branded barbecue. Now, of course, when we talk about a barbecue, we're not talking about a barbecue like we know here in Australia. As we all know, the American barbecue style is completely completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's often called either low and slow or smoking as well. Yep. So I guess what we usually call barbecue in Australia would be more... better referred to as grilling.
Yes.
Yes, until it's black.
Yeah.
Hopefully not.
But. I have a smoker or an offset pit with my name on it. It's the JP Signature Edition made in Houston.
Cool.
And luckily that factory is okay. So shout out to Ryan. But it's a completely wood-fired smoker. The only way you can control the temperature is actually through the air intakes.
Right.
And that's the most traditional style of cooker in Central Texas. There's actually just as it when you get into any kind of cuisine, there's four main regions within the United States for barbecue, and then four regions within Texas of different barbecue as well.
Wow, who knew? That is fascinating. You. That's why you're here to tell us all about it.
What was it that inspired you to become an expert in barbecue?
I'm glad you asked that because it is one of the most organic stories possible, which is just that I went to Texas for the first time because, as Fiona mentioned, you know, Austin's such a cool town that I wanted to sort of check it out and fell in love with it. And while I was there, one of the things that you have to do, just like, you know, having Vegemite while you're in Australia, is try the barbecue. And I had my first taste of a smoked beef rib. And we're lucky here because we have great barbecue joints in Australia now, but it's really only been around for the past 3 or 4 years. Max.
Yes, definitely.
And if you've never tried protein that's been smoked before, it really is a completely different experience. So I had that first taste and just got fascinated by it and then wanted to eat more of it and then wanted to learn more about how it was made. And part of that process, especially with brisket, is that it's such a different cut between the countries that I started having to sort of learn all this stuff about meat that I never thought I would have to learn before about carcasses and what the difference is and grain and genetics and all this sort of stuff. And then I thought, well, while I'm learning all this, perhaps I should apply it to all other types of meat. And sort of fell down the rabbit hole. I just find the whole thing really, really interesting. I really enjoy learning about the meat science behind things as well.
It's interesting. Do you think it was the connection with your dad in Texas or that planted the seed that you wanted to go there in the first place?
I mean, maybe so. He was only there for like a semester, but he'd always sort of spoken about it fondly and I think Texas just has a mystique to it, you know, in the same way as we have these cowboy hats and sombreros sitting in front of us. And no one dislikes Texas. It's just a really likable place full of likable people. So it was always going to be on the list to visit, and it just really resonated. Austin is a very liberal city as well. It's called the blue city in the red state because even though Texas is Republican, Austin is very renowned for being very liberal. So considering that Australia is quite liberal as well, it was also very similar for me for home, whereas a lot of the southern states aren't. So when I visited Austin, it was the first place that I could see myself living as well because it wasn't too much of a departure for how I grew up.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
It is. And, of course, Austin is famous for the South by Southwest Music Festival, of which many Australian bands go to and make a scene, which is fantastic. Why do you think that in Australia the American-style barbecue has become so popular?
I think it's so. It's actually something that is exploding around the world as well. The Australians are just really latching onto it. I was in this month, in August alone. I guess we're in September now, but in August alone, I was in Brazil and Sweden and invited to cook barbecue and teach classes. And both of those places, same thing, into the mystique of Texas barbecue or American style low and slow barbecue. And, you know, I think it just resonated here because Australians are meat lovers and we're great meat eaters. Mm-hmm. But more so, you know, it can take up to 16 hours to cook a brisket. And I feel like in some ways Aussie males will take any kind of excuse to stand longer in the backyard drinking beer. Yeah.
Give them something to do.
Yeah, but it, really it's as simple as it just tastes great. I think it's a flavour profile that appeals to a lot of people.
And when you use the different kinds of woods, I mean, that's another component. Yes, you can probably bring in different sort of flavoured woods. Sorry.
No, it's literally accurate.
Is that what they call it? Flavoured woods?
Well, it'd be different wood varieties, but the different varieties impart a different flavour onto the meat. Absolutely.
And what about cooking with the eucalyptus? I mean, how would that affect? That would make it taste, I don't know, that sounds weird.
No, but you're 100% right, because this was the biggest issue with translating, because you're talking about something that was born in the United States of convenience. So it was cooking cheap cuts with what was locally available, and a lot of the smoking came from the German immigrants and their sort of smokehouse history. But then when you try and translate that somewhere else, you're stuck with, well, I don't want my food to taste like Vicks.
Right.
So, so it took the community here a little while, and the most common wood now that they use is actually ironbark. So even though it is a type of eucalyptus, it really doesn't have that eucalypty smell. And then for softer meats like chicken and pork, you find them using a lot of fruit woods like apple, peach, pear, that sort of stuff. And it's a sweeter cherry wood.
Cherry, yeah.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
That sounds very... you know, delicious, and not that I eat meat, but it would be, it's certainly looks and the whole ethos behind it, and just that sort of time taken and the care and the consideration and all the different cuts. I mean, it certainly is a science amongst itself.
Oh,
You must have some amazing vegetarian ideas to
I actually
cook on
do,
a
don't laugh.
There's three of us in the room today who don't eat meat. So, you know, I'd love to talk to you about that afterwards. So,
of course.
Or now, if Fiona's dying for a recipe. So,
well, I'll tell you just quickly, on my website, jesspryles.com, when you fire up a smoker and you're spending all that time on the wood and there's lots of room, you sort of find ways to put other things in there. So I've thrown onions in there before and done a smoked onion dip. I've thrown tomatoes in there before and made smoked Bloody Mary cubes. So you sort of make the...
Wow.
Yeah. That so there's really this. Really see, there are one,
So you've got Fee's attention now.
Yes. Vodka, let's talk.
Yeah. There you go. Or gin.
It's just around the corner.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution.
Here's the solution.
Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
We're doing all things Texas.
We are.
Did you know that there's a gay radio association in Texas,
no,
Ted?
I didn't.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that.
Well, it's run by a man called Jim Gadient, right? And Jim's drag name is Stella Mae Stardust.
That's divine.
I like that. And he's been operating this gay rodeo for since 1989.
Right.
And he's obsessed with all things cowboy and radio. And in fact, he has 400 pairs of spurs. Mm. So they call him the jingling cowboy. He has 60 cowboy boots. So he's very serious about his leather. And his favourite saying is, "Come on, y'all queers, let's go putting on that rodeo for them straight people."
Gold.
So that's on at the end of March each year. So, you know, I reckon we could fly into Dallas and
that's close to South by Southwest, so you could sort of South by Southwest. You could tack it on. Yeah.
That'd be good.
I think we should bring him out and have him here for Pride.
Well, I wouldn't mind Stella May out here. Would you like Stella May to come out?
Definitely.
Yeah. And it sounds like he could give us all a few spurs by the sound of it.
Whip us up.
Whip. Oh, yeah. Right back, cowboy. Have you ever worn a spur?
What?
Do you have spurs?
No, I don't have occasion to wear spurs because I don't ride horses very frequently.
Cowboy boots?
I own many, many pairs of cowboy boots.
Fantastic.
Wow,
that's
how many?
Huge,
come on, tell us.
That's a huge thing down there.
I think I have 11 pairs now, which is a lot, since you can only wear one pair at a time. And I also have a cowboy hat. I bought it after the Houston Rodeo this year, and it's called, the color, which is that nice silvery gray color, is called Silver Belly.
Oh, that sounds nice. That's much better than these, I would imagine.
A little different. Yep. Do you know that cowboy hats are traditionally made from beaver pelt? Because
are they?
It's waterproof.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
So, takes that's us back to, you know, the early American days when they were, you know, getting rid of beaver and fur and God knows what else they were doing in Brokeback Mountain.
Whatever.
Now, Tab, we forgot our thank yous.
I know, we have quite a few thank yous.
Okay.
Our podcaster, Peter Tucknell, who makes sure our podcasts are up every Monday. Neil on the front desk, thank you very much. All the team at Joy, and of course our listeners, who without, we are nothing.
That's right. And listeners, if you want to know anything about Texas and Austin, you can get in touch. You can SMS us on 0427-JOY-949 or phone us on 1-300-JOY-949. You won't get through to the studio, which is probably a good thing, but you can leave a message. Or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. Get in touch and ask Jess a question.
Even if you want a date with Stella May.
Yeah, well, that too. But I've got a question. We were talking about the different styles of barbecue within Texas, and you said there were four of them. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate on those a little bit?
Yeah, of course. So the four main styles, there's East Texas barbecue, which is the least well-known, I think, and it's quite heavily sourced. Mm-hmm. There's barbacoa, which is, you know, Mexican-based barbecue. And it's actually, there's only one place in Texas that's grandfathered in that's allowed to make it anymore because it's the entire cow head that's buried in the ground and cooked that way. And then the meat is picked out of it and usually served as tacos.
Have you ever had that?
I've actually done it. We've done that cook before. It's really interesting. I mean, it is. It's delicious. You know, if I say beef cheeks, that makes a lot more sense. Yeah, yeah. I think, but it can be a little funky if you don't do it right, because the brain is meant to be a sweet part of it too. But then there's West Texas barbecue, which is actually not kind of barbecue that we've talked about. It's grilling over mesquite. Is a type of wood, and it's pretty much the only wood that grows in West Texas. So they do cowboy style. Yeah. That's where all the cowboys live in West Texas. And but Central Texas or Hill Country style is the most well known. That's Aaron Franklin, who is probably the best known barbecuer in the world. Who unfortunately his restaurant burned down last week.
Oh no!
He will rebuild. Don't worry. But that's what happens when you deal with meat and fire and grease and things like that. It's not entirely uncommon for it to happen. And Central Texas style is that German Czech influenced barbecue that's done in an offset smoker, low and slow indirect heat.
Right, that's fascinating. I really love that mesquite flavor. I think it has a special sort of touch to things.
It does. It's really intense, though.
Yeah,
so you have to use it sparingly.
Yeah. You have to know what you're doing, obviously.
Yes.
No, that's great. And again, I guess it's the all those influences, you know, all wrapped up into one sort of package, which is what Texas is. Mm. And that was, you know, like with your book, for example, did you borrow different elements of those different styles in the recipes?
Do. Yeah. I guess what people should know about the book is not to be intimidated. It's certainly not just a barbecue book. It's a meat book in general. So there are recipes in there to be done in the oven. Yeah. There's recipes to be done on a grill. I wanted it to be as accessible as possible for people and not just one specific style that is prohibitive for a lot of people if you don't have the right equipment. And the book's split into two sections, the forequarter and the hindquarter. Yeah. And the forequarter is all just information.
Yeah.
If you understand things about temperature and salt and all this sort of things, it just turns you into a better meat cook. Yep. And then the hindquarter is all of the recipes. So there is a lot of Texan influence in there, though. There's chicken fried steak, which I'm surprised wasn't on the list as a classic Texas item.
Price. Can you explain that?
What was it again? Sorry.
Chicken fried steak. Have you heard of that?
No, it was interesting. It just, I did look up what Texans like to eat after I'd read the obese thing. And because, I thought that was really interesting that 31% of the population was. And it had that they fry absolutely everything.
So chicken fried, if you ever hear anything that's referred to as being chicken fried, it's not actually necessarily chicken. It's just that it means it's fried in the style of like Kentucky Fried Chicken, for example. So it's got that crispy batter. So chicken fried steak is basically schnitz with that coating on it instead of a crumb coating.
And then there's the question of what's in the coating.
Flour and spices, and that's about it.
That's it? Yeah. What kind of spices?
Usually paprika, a lot of black pepper. Texas style barbecue, and especially Central Texas style, is actually usually just salt and pepper, very coarse black pepper and salt too, which helps form the bark, which is that lovely black outer that you see on the briskets, etc. So, a bit of salt, a bit of pepper, maybe a little bit of garlic powder. If you want to spice it up a little. A pinch of cayenne.
What do Texans like to drink?
Beer.
Okay.
And whiskey.
Beer and whiskey steak. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's all got to be bourbon, right? Because, you know, there's whiskey and there's obviously scotch, which is, you know, Scottish, but there's it's all got to be straight bourbon. That's kind of like the thing down there.
Bourbon has to be. So a lot of people think bourbon has to be made in Kentucky, and that's not true. But you do. There's a lot of rules for bourbon. It has to be at least 51% corn grain. They can only use white oak barrels. They can only use those barrels once. So actually making bourbon is way more expensive than making whiskey. So there are a lot of there's one Texas bourbon distillery, and there's a lot of whiskey distilleries, sort of frontier whiskey, you know, American style whiskeys. So it is a bit popular. There's a drink called the Texas Two-Step at one of my favorite bars in Austin called the White Horse, where you get a bottle of Lone Star beer and a shot of whiskey.
Now, Fee and Ted are foodies. They go crazy for nice restaurants. Where should they go in Texas, do you think?
You know, it's good funny question. Because it's a real combination of the stuff that you have to eat that's very traditional, which isn't necessarily always, you know, gourmet or high-end. But Austin's food scene is really burgeoning. We have an amazing amount of young chefs. There's a lot of movement towards locavore farming and CSA boxes and things of that nature and local produce. So we have some really lovely restaurants to eat at, for sure. And you can come and eat barbecue and eat your Tex-Mex and then, you know, go to somewhere that's James Beard nominated chef, and it's a good mix.
So when people come to Austin and they've got a week, what are the things that they absolutely have to do when they're in Austin?
Oh man, you have to eat barbecue. You have to. You just have to. There's a vegan
bourbon.
Barbecue trailer there, Fee.
No kidding.
Yeah, they smoke soy protein items
of interest.
Soy protein items. I like that.
That's certainly.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't ask items. Any questions.
Yeah, no.
I would. The Texas State Capitol is actually really interesting to see. You have to go two-stepping. So I'm sorry to break the.
It's not square dancing or round dancing. No?
So square dancing definitely exists, but it's sort of like a. It's not that common. The most common is two-stepping, which is really lovely because it's men and women dancing together in a very old-fashioned sort of style.
Is that like boot scooting?
We were
very big on boot scooting in the gay scene in Melbourne in the late 80s. I even took some classes.
Were there mullets happening there, like Billy Ray style?
Oh, there was, when that song came on, I always loved that thing where you had to bend over and touch the person's butt in front of you.
I don't know if that was traditional.
I don't think it was either.
Maybe it's just something we made up here in Melbourne. There was a lot of it going on, I can tell you. Do you remember that?
No, but I think I need to bring it back.
I think we should bring it back, don't you?
I think that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLD, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
There's definitely a Texas accent, and there's a countryer accent than others. And one thing is that they say it's not oil, it's oil.
Right.
It's really oil in some places.
Yeah.
You've got 31% of Americans' reserves in Texas, the oil.
Do you know that currently there are 15 car long lines in Austin for gas, for petrol, because everyone's panicking about the supply, which is completely false because there's not going to be an interruption in supply, and most of the petrol stations in Austin are currently out of gas altogether.
Really?
It's like this wild panic off the back of the hurricane.
Ah,
which, incidentally, I went through to come here. So.
Did you? How was it?
How was it?
You know, 4 out of 5 stars could have done better. No, I mean... it was horrible and it was scary, and I don't have anything to complain about compared to the folks in Houston, but we got the outer bands over Austin, and I was waiting for this tree to fall in my yard, and sure enough did at 4 o'clock in the morning. Yep, luckily between the houses, but I got out there with my axe.
Yeah, and how's your dog?
Yeah. She's great. Yeah. I took my Staffy over with me.
I was going to say, who's looking after her? Minding her? I'm sure she's in a panic with all the storms.
Do you want to hear the funniest thing? So she's okay because there's no thunder during a hurricane.
Oh, right.
But she's staying with a friend of mine and his wife, and he is a pit master, and he wears the Birkenstocks because it's, you know, chefy shoes. Mm-hmm. And constantly throughout the day, he's got like brisket fat dropping on his feet because that's what happens. So she stays. They have a dog called Star. My dog's called Ancho. And he takes 1 foot in the door at the end of the day, and he's got a dog on each foot licking it clean. So she really couldn't be happier right now.
Was there a lot of damage in Austin, though, on a serious level, as far as the hurricane? I mean, obviously in Houston and Galveston, they're probably the some of the places have been heaviest
hit.
Yeah,
Port Arthur and Beaumont and Victoria. And no, there wasn't. There was there was some tree damage. A lot of trees felled because of the winds. But we've had way worse flooding in Austin. We didn't actually get it that bad.
Right.
But yeah,
oh, that's good.
Yeah. Mm. Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of famous Texans as well. Did you know that?
I'm sure there are.
Get this.
President?
I'm not going to worry about George Bush.
Okay.
He wasn't actually born in Texas.
No, he wasn't.
Well, he comes up as someone very famous from Texas, but it must be nice for him now because he's no longer the worst president in the United States. So he gets a tick, which is good.
That's fair enough.
Buddy Holly was from Texas.
Really? Yeah.
Janis Joplin. I mean,
she's from the place that was just hit the hardest. She's from Port Arthur or Port Aransas. One of those.
Yeah.
ZZ Top. Can you believe that with those beards all happening? That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Willie Nelson. Roy Orbison with those, you know, that high octave. Mm-hmm. God. Sissy Spacek.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's from there. So, I mean, you know, who would want to go? What was that movie that she was in that was...
Carrie.
Yeah, my God.
May I also add a very important Texan to that list, which is Matthew McConaughey.
There you go.
Oh, now he's a bit of a hunk, isn't he?
He's a little bit of a hunk. And he goes to every Texas football game and he sits in his box and the camera always swings to him and everyone goes nuts. It's great.
What's the name of the Texas football team?
Well, there's the college team in Austin is University of Texas, so it's the Texas Longhorns. It's Hook'em.
Okay.
That's what we say, Hook'em Horns.
So you'd be a good cheerleader, wouldn't you?
But there's college football all over Texas, and then there's, of course, the Dallas Cowboys and the Houston Texans.
Yep.
Geez, V, you wouldn't mind a date with Matthew.
No, I don't know.
See, this is really
hard.
I find that everyone, you're either hot for Matthew or he's just not your type. What about you, Ted?
No.
Oh, I wouldn't say no.
That's a very honest answer. Yeah. I will say that. Jess, would you go for him?
I'd have a coffee with him.
Is that what you call it nowadays?
That's that polite southern
thing. Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
It's bless his heart.
Would you?
Well, I'm a bit like V.
Really?
He ticks the box. I like men really skinny. I think that's hot for me. So he ticks the box there. But he's just a bit too swami for me. I don't
know. What do you mean by swami?
I don't think he treats his women well.
Oh.
That's just the feeling I get. It's that, you know, I'm hot, I'm fantastic.
You've been reading too many gossip magazines. I mean, how do you know that?
Everything's true and famous.
Hey, it was not a new idea.
No, I wouldn't have a bar of that. No. I'm glad we're on the same page there.
Mm-hmm.
What do Texans do on the weekend?
Well, saddle up them horses. I guess it depends where you are, you know. But they do, I mean, honestly, though, barbecue is a thing that usually happens on the weekends if you're into that, because it takes so long to do that you definitely need the time to do it.
Do a lot of people have their own smokers at home, or do they leave that to the experts?
So that's the thing. Yeah, most people have a smoker. Right. If because you can get them at the grocery store there.
Right.
the cheaper. Really? Yeah, yeah. So most people do, and most people have a really great understanding of cooking over there and outdoor cooking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they have like a camp or a ranch house or something, and there's one out there.
Right.
So.
In your book, there's some mention of brining and things like that, and a lot of people might not know what that is, but that's a way of actually tenderizing the meat and imparting a bit more flavor. Is that correct? Or
yeah, so there's an article on dry brining in there, which is brining just involves a certain amount of salt being introduced to the meat. So, for example, when you take a brisket and you brine it, that's how you create corned beef.
Right.
And then when you take that corned beef and you smoke it, you've now created pastrami.
Right. Yeah.
So, it is especially if you brine with nitrates too, you end up curing the meat as well.
Right, okay.
So, yeah.
It's fascinating. It's a lot of chemistry, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah. The Maillard reaction and all
the
that.
The Maillard reaction. Yeah. Sorry. No, that's okay. The Americans say Maillard because like speaking French.
No, true.
You know.
That's right. Didn't they create in
Freedom
France,
Fries?
Freedom Fries.
Yeah.
So that was a thing for 20 seconds.
Yeah.
That's
right. Oh, yeah.
So for Aussies to get to Texas, we're very fortunate here in Melbourne. We've got two one-stop flights, so we can fly Qantas via Sydney and go straight into Dallas, or ANZ via Auckland and go straight into Houston.
Yeah.
Do you have the same rivalry that Melbourne and Sydney does between Dallas and Houston?
Definitely.
Oh, okay, good.
And
good.
I don't want to kick the city while it's down, but usually I don't have really nice things to say about Houston because it's sort of, it's a very swampy city on the bayou, and that's just built on oil and gas, you know, and it's this huge sprawling metropolis, which is sort of part of the issue that they've got, that it's just such a big city. So I think there's about 4 million people in Houston and 4 million people in Dallas, or the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Actually, and Austin and San Antonio all come, and Houston and Dallas all come in the top 10 largest cities in America.
That's right, yeah.
So it's a pretty big state, yeah. But I think there is a little bit of... There's definitely... The biggest rivalry is always going to be college football and football teams.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, do you follow any football still?
No, I don't. But I'm a Penn State boy, so that's why I go for it, yeah.
It's a pretty good team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always, yeah. So, but yeah, I don't really follow it much anymore, so...
No, but see, you know just enough if you need to get involved in the conversation,
definitely.
Right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you remember those Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders in the 70s and the 80s?
Oh, they're still around.
Paula Abdul was one.
Was she really? God,
I didn't know that.
Was an LA Laker. I could be wrong, sorry.
No, that's okay.
But I tell you what, there's a Melbourne girl. There's a Melbourne girl on the team currently. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Janelle Davidson. So she... I went to school with her.
Really?
She's Dallas Cowboy cheerleader now.
That is so trippy.
Isn't that weird? And she was a Melbourne Storm cheerleader and then auditioned.
Really?
And yeah, it's like if you're going to be a cheerleader, it's sort of like the pinnacle of cheerleading that you can do. And they have a whole sort of program where they go around and visit kids in hospitals and things like that.
So. Ah, bless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you would say that it's the pinnacle of barbecue as well. I mean, I'd love to hear about what your plans are like next.
It's the epicenter. Well, like I said, I've been really busy this month so far. I get home and I go to St. Louis, which is a big barbecue city as well, do some classes there, and then go to Nashville for an Angus conference. And I'm actually in the process of building, in partnership with these guys, a huge outdoor cooking school just outside of Austin.
Wow, that sounds like
fun. Yeah, so I'll be able to do classes on a much more regular basis, and
you went to Austin and networked your way around, met everybody, told everyone you were really serious, and everyone was like, yeah, girl from Melbourne, go.
Yeah, I mean, I moved 2.5 years ago, and we went, you know, wasn't really sure what would happen. And I think if you dedicate yourself to something and your passion is genuine and you have a lot of drive, it's a great example of, you know, I think they call it something like the American dream, right?
Yeah.
Australian dream too, probably.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, now, could they understand you when you arrive? Because, they can't understand the Australian accent.
My accent changes when I'm there.
And I can hear a bit of that twang happening. You've got a bit of drawl happening, which is wonderful. You know?
And I just find it, I auto adjust in order to be understood. And then I think if you're adept with languages, you parrot back whatever you're hearing. So if you're around someone from Brooklyn, you might end up with, you know, like, pass the chandelier, you know, champagne kind of thing. So it's the same kind of thing.
No, it's fascinating. Same with me. Whenever I go back home, you know, my family says, oh, you've got an Australian accent. I don't hear it, but I can really hear their American accents. And then I'm there for a couple of days and I can't decipher either, you know. Mm-hmm. But, it's fascinating how that happens.
Does that happen to you, Faye, when you go to America? Do you get a bit of a Yankee accent happening?
I think I probably say a few things when I'm in a taxi in order to get where I want to go, because otherwise they'll take you to the wrong street. They'll take you to Grand Street instead of Green Street. So you would accentuate certain vowel sounds to get where you needed to go. I remember when I was traveling through Europe, I was living in the States at the time, and my dad said, you really should, you know, tone down your American accent when you're in Europe because they really like Australians more. And I was like, I don't have an American accent.
Tone it down.
But it was, you definitely do pick it up when you're there, and why wouldn't you? Because it's quite fun. I think it's fun to play with accents.
Mm.
Yeah.
And do they really have Southern hospitality?
100%. It's such a big thing.
So if you were you're a lady, obviously. So we're,
sometimes. You
know, well, that's good to know. This is a family radio station.
Yeah. So family. Yeah.
So would you be wooned and swooned and dined and wined and all of that by a man, and he'd really, you know, call you ma'am and all of that stuff?
I call people sir and ma'am now too, because I think it's a really lovely, respectful way to interact with people around you. You generally have doors held for you, and you also get to learn to do that for other people just as a courtesy, and it's a really nice way of living. And it doesn't happen all over the States. This is the Southern hospitality. Even when I walk out of my house, if I'm walking the dog, if you pass someone, you acknowledge them.
Yeah,
you know, it's a, hi, how are you? Sometimes it's even a, how's your day going? Or, you know, howdy, or whatever it is. But it's a much nicer way of interacting instead of just looking down and pretending that you haven't seen the other person.
Yeah.
I remember I used to visit Austin a lot before I moved there, and the most stark reminder that I was back in Australia that I had to adjust was when I was in a supermarket here, and I would walk down the aisle and there'd only be one other person coming towards you, and by God, you had to do everything in your power not to look at the other person or acknowledge them. Whereas over there, there would at least be a smile or something like that. So, there's a difference between, I think, chivalry and feminism. And I don't have an issue at all with a guy who wants to open a door for me, open a car door, or you know, even pick up the check on the first occasion is fine with me too.
I like that too.
So do I.
I like it when a man picks up the check.
Yeah.
But it's interesting though, because even like in Melbourne, you know, a lot of the homes, you know, have these fences and walls all around them. And you don't see that a lot in America.
We don't have, there's no fences at all.
You know, it's just different, isn't it? It's a different sort of setup as far as the living. So people get to know their neighbors a little bit more because of that.
Yeah, I definitely. I know all my neighbors, and it's a great environment.
Yeah,
and I mean, it changes. It depends where in the States you are.
Yeah, of course.
New York City's not going to be quite the same.
No, that's right. Definitely not.
But I think that's exactly what you're talking about with that Southern hospitality, that there'll be potluck parties and street parties and the neighborhood Christmas party and things. And that does happen some places in Melbourne, but usually in the outer suburbs too, where it's a little bit more quiet.
So. Yeah, it's just a nice charm.
Yeah.
Now, when you travel,
I was just going to say, I spent quite a few years living in the US, and I just loved it. I thought everyone was fabulous, really fun and welcoming and warm, whether it be in New York City or, you know, Florida or places that I visited. Loved it.
We, in travel industry here in Australia, have seen a huge downturn in Australians wanting to visit the United States. It's not seen as politically correct, and it's not seen as a destination with all of the news that comes out of there about Trump. The reality of the situation is absolutely opposite. He does his stuff in Washington, and the rest of the country is still fun to visit.
I think you'll find, despite what he says, that most of the country did not vote for him.
Yeah,
correct.
I think.
So, no, listen, Republicans were always where Republicans were.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if you're driving through backwoods Alabama, you know, you use caution and common sense. because they were there when Obama was president.
Yeah.
You know? So definitely don't punish yourself or anyone else just because, you know, a flawed system allowed that guy to get into power.
Exactly. Yeah. We have had the best hour.
It's been really fun.
It's gone way too quickly.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me here.
You have a great trip back.
Thank you. I will. And y'all have to come visit.
Yes.
We will.
I love that. Y'all.
Y'all. We can do that.
I'm going out to have coffee with my friend Nick now, and I'm just going to say that all hour.
Do it.
We are about to say farewell and we're going to listen to Dean Beck's Word for Word in the next hour. And who have we got on next week, Beck?
We are going to Beirut.
Ooh.
Mazen Hajar, the founder of Hawker's Brewery, is going to be on next week to talk all things Beirut and beer.
Perfect.
It sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
It does. All right, see you next week.
Have a good one.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.